Autumn. I follow her through the woods, a well-worn path I've seen a thousand times. Ferns, lady slipper, and thistle, the mysterious red flowers dotting the path. 5 petals, perfectly formed, like they were made just for us. 1 petal for the gracier girls, 1 petal for the wives, 1 for the laborers, 1 for the women at the outskirts, and 1 for her. The girl looks back at me over her shoulder, giving me that confident grin. She reminds me of someone, but I can't place the name or the face. Maybe something from a long-forgotten memory, a past life, perhaps a younger sister I never knew. Heart-shaped face, a small red strawberry mark under her right eye. Delicate features, like mine, but there's nothing delicate about this girl. There's a fierceness in her steel-gray eyes. Her dark hair is shorn close to her scalp. A punishment or a rebellion, I cannot say. I don't know her, but strangely enough, I know that I love her. It's not a love like my father has for my mother. It's protective and pure, the same way I felt about those robins I cared for last winter. We reach the clearing, where women from all walks of life have gathered, the tiny red flower pinned above their hearts. There's no bickering or murderous glares. Everyone has come together in peace, in unity. We are sisters, daughters, mothers, grandmothers, standing together for a common need, greater than ourselves.
We are the weaker sex. Weaker no more, the girl says. The women answer with a primal roar.
But I'm not afraid. I only feel a sense of pride. The girl is the one. She's the one who will change everything, and somehow, I'm a part of all this.
This path has been paved with blood, the blood of our own, but it was not in vain. Tonight, the Gracier comes to an end.
As I expel the air from my lungs, I find myself not in the woods, not with the girl, but here, in this stifling room, in my bed, my sisters glaring down at me.
What did she say?
My older sister Ivy asks, her cheeks ablaze. Nothing, June replies, squeezing Ivy's wrist. We heard nothing. As my mother enters the room, my little sisters Clara and Penny poke me out of bed. I look to June to thank her for quelling the situation, but she won't meet my gaze. She won't, or she can't. I'm not sure what's worse. We're not allowed to dream. The men believe it's a way we can hide our magic. Having the dreams would be enough to get me punished. But if anyone ever found out what the dreams were about, it would mean the gallows. My sisters lead me to the sewing room, fluttering around me like a knot of bickering sparrows, pushing, pulling.
Ease up,
I gasp, as Clara and Penny yank on the corset strings with a little too much glee. They think this is all fun and games. They don't realize that in a few short years, it will be their turn. I swat at them.
Don't you have anyone else to torture?
Stop your fussing, my mother says, taking out her frustration on my scalp as she finishes my braid. Your father has let you get away with murder all these years, with your mud-stained frocks, dirt under your nails. For once, you're going to know what it feels like to be a lady.
Why bother?
Ivy flaunts her growing belly in the looking glass for all of us to see.
No one in their right mind would give a veil to tyranny.
So be it, my mother says as she grabs the corset strings and pulls even tighter. But she owes me this.
I was a willful child, too curious for my own good, head in the clouds, lacking propriety, among other things.
And I will be the first girl in our family to go into her gracier without receiving a veil. My mother doesn't need to say it. Every time she looks at me, I feel her resentment, her quiet rage.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.